Welcome. You have found Winning at Life. Yes, it's live financial talk radio. We're going to talk about the goings on today in the financial world and our take on a number of topics. Also, as well as you could help direct the show, is what is your question? I am your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Yeah, I love those calls when people are like, yeah, I've been listening to the show for years, and they're like, I'll never have a reason to call, but I'll be damned if something didn't happen. And something we talked about on yesterday's show, Gregory, where we were bringing up Social Security and creating your own account, and you can go see. And what does that do? One of the first things it does, look, we're 1 minute into the show. Here's your first usable tip that makes you smarter. If you set up your Social Security account at ssa.gov, then someone who hacks your information and tries to do one of the fraudulent things that is commandeer your Social Security and take advantage of you that way, they can't do it if you've already gone and set it up and got your own password. And we talked about that on the show, and it came up twice yesterday. And when I sat down to go through some of the financial news of the day to get ready for the show, what did I see? It's some healthcare clinic. I wonder if they just call it a hospital. Anyways, doctor's office, healthcare clinic of some sort got hacked, and they had to send out notices to all their patients that your Social Security numbers and address and date of birth have been compromised. So the first thing I would tell every single one of those people is, if you know your Social Security number is floating out there, if you were part of that big Target hack or the Equifax hack or whatever, and you haven't gone and set up your Social Security account, go do that first. That's just one thing that you can do that cuts off one of the avenues that they can exploit when they hack your information. That's where I would start. We talked about it yesterday, and it's already happening, Gregory. That's a cool part of the show.
If it hadn't been hacked yet, it will be.
Is that sort of the rule you should go on? If it hasn't been hacked yet?
Look, I get asked about that, and I'm just honest with people, is everything probably is hackable if somebody could dedicate enough time to it, expertise or whatever, or manage to steal data from somewhere that leads them to that. So it's always a battle, is, you know, those of us with businesses, information to protect is something we think is really important. We put a high priority on it. So you always think of that as, what's the vulnerability? So I think of it from that standpoint. But it's just, you hear it every so often, and it's not infrequent, but you hear about something being hacked and information's taken, whether it's credit cards, Social Security numbers. And that's one of the tips I like to give when I'm speaking publicly is if you've not gone and set up that account, regardless of your age, go set it up. There isn't a, I'm not near retirement, so you will be in 40 years.
There's no negative consequences, and there's the possibility of a positive consequence. Plus, you'll just know where you stand. Trust me, you'll be interested to leaf through your little printout and see what all Social Security has on your little spreadsheet. They know, they have a plan on when you're going to die. They have your expected date of death. I'm telling you, that'll stick with you. It's like, boy, my relationship with myself and the federal government's a little more intimate than I had preferred, Gregory. But there it goes. A tip happened. We said it yesterday. The news board out today. And I have another Social Security story. A guy in New Jersey was sentenced to a year in prison Thursday, that's today, it happened this morning, for cashing nearly $200,000 in Social Security retirement checks issued to his great aunt over the course of 19 years after she had passed away.
So if he was getting $15,000 a year, he's picked up, what, about $285,000?
Well,
whenever they caught it, so I don't think he went to jail instantly, but think of it, it's 19 years.
The part he cashed, the part he's caught with, about $200,000, just a little bit under that. And so it was about 19 years. And if you average it out, it was a little more than $800 a month.
And all he got was a year for stealing all that money?
Yeah, all he gets a year in prison.
But what's the restitution? $200,000?
The restitution is all the money. And good. He has to have 3 years of supervised release post-incarceration.
I guess, you know, after 9 or 10 years, he just figured, well, what the heck? I'm getting away with it.
Yeah, why would you stop?
Until, what was it that gave him the heads up?
They don't say. Here's the weird part is, I don't know if it was a tax audit or whatever, but he worked for the city of Perth in New Jersey until late last year, until late 2017. And he was a joint account holder on the account that his aunt received the direct deposits. Could that be it? Could someone have finally told the bank, or could the bank have found out and then they tried to do something about that joint account and then they said, well, hang on, they've been getting Social Security checks here. Could have been the bank?
Well, here's one thing. The government does keep up with who dies. And there's a system out there, and this came up a story a few years ago on 60 Minutes about life insurance companies not paying death benefits if they weren't notified. This is where nobody notified us of the death. Well, actually, you don't have to be notified. There's a database with them all out there. It ties into the government and Social Security. They kind of keep up with who dies. You know, they keep up with who's born,
mm-hmm.
and they keep up with who dies. They know. Unless somehow it got away from them for a while, but it is going to show up in the system somewhere. She's dead. And then they finally run another scan. Oh, somebody's been this check's been running for 19 years. Where's it going? Well, this bank account over wherever. Yeah, it leads them there. Now, we're not saying, see, the way the insurance industry used to work, remember, we didn't have all these databases and such, you know, where all the data's just automatically compiled and is put out there that you could run your system against it, is it used to need to notify the insurance company that he died.
Okay.
And provide a death certificate, and they would pay the benefit. But if nobody showed up requesting the money or whatever, at some point they end the policy and it's done. They didn't bother go looking who beneficiaries are. So that's been a problem for the insurance industry because they're being forced to change their ways and pay up that money. So that was something I didn't know about until a few years ago that they know anyhow. They just look the other way, I guess. It was kind of surprising.
But you'd think Social Security, they obviously have a financial incentive to keep up with this stuff. It's just one government agency keeping its finger on the pulse of another government agency. Hey, can you tell Social Security?
I just tell you, if they didn't show why, but somehow they caught on that it's going, okay, yeah, something falls through the system, and maybe there was no notification. There wasn't nobody else to notify. But if something happened with a checking account, it had to have been moved. The bank was taken over by another bank. Whatever causes that to change up, then, you know, how's he going to redirect the check to the new account? Something happened that created an alert.
Yeah, that could be it. You would think, though, Social Security already has a system in place where over the course of 19 years, they would have caught this sooner. Can't they just, like, once a year, you just go ping all the county databases for death certificates and see if that matches up against Social Security numbers that they're paying out right now?
Look,
they got nothing going on.
You would think a death certificate has to be issued. She's dead. She's got to be buried. But something didn't cross-reference, and it finally caught up.
I bet private sector insurance companies that are paying out these lifetime pensions that they end, like Social Security, you can set up your own little pension that's supposed to go when you end. I bet you they don't accidentally send out checks for 19 years to some of their clients.
Bet you some do, James. we've not seen any stories, not been on our radar, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're gotten over at times too. And I bet they're wanting the money back.
I bet they don't brag about it. I guess you're right. That'd be an interesting Google search, though.
That would be interesting.
Because on one hand, Social Security doesn't really care because it's not really their money, and they get paid the same anyway, and they're not going out of business, and they don't have shareholders to keep happy. They don't have earning statements and quarterly reports. But then on the other hand, I mean, money's money.
Well, those IRS agents that are searching returns, you could say, that's not their money. Why they were? Well, I'm taking off early. Yeah, I've got a pile of work. Found some ugly cases, but I'm taking a long weekend. You know, they're going to go chase the money.
I'm painfully novice in this area. I've never been through it. What's the process like? The worst happens and someone close to me passes away.
Well, if like in that case, the person that has that money going into the joint account kind of says, uh-oh, they just deposited another check. She died. I better notify them. It's your obligation to notify them. Besides, you might want to get that few $100 burial benefit to apply towards the funeral costs. There's that. I don't know that that's reason enough when he kept getting that kind of money sent every month, but that's part of his obligation or nearest relative. Who requested the death certificates?
If you're asking, I don't know. I didn't know if you that's rhetorical.
But it's an obligation that we have, and especially if you're getting the money. Yeah. So the bank wasn't notified. The bank, you know, if they had a joint account, that account was probably going to have to get closed through succession. At some point, that's probably what came up if there was no other notification. But I also don't know how the death certificates being issued ties into the feds.
Yeah, I don't know how that works because
state level.
The person that declares them dead is the justice of the peace. Death certificates issued by the county. And I guess there's just a disconnect from your county seat all the way to DC. So you got to make a couple of phone calls here.
But that gap, I'm sure, is narrowing. Something, you know, maybe do some research on and find out about if that's automated any better now.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks and Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. You won't learn this anywhere else.
Everybody should have a plan to have $1 million. That isn't some obscene amount of money. Just think about it. Really? Is $1 million a lot? Well, it might be tough for you to accumulate if you only have a few years to save, but if you're age 40, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities. Plus, if you're making $40,000 a year and wanting to retire, if you have $1 million, 3% income stream from it, safe money style, that's $30,000 a year. And say you have $20,000 from your Social Security. Okay, boom. There you have $50,000 a year. But this isn't out of the realm. And you need to have plans. Hey, retiring with $100,000 in your savings isn't going to get the job done.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Nobody does potatoes like we do. spectacular tubers, a meal and a baked potato, and more. Enjoy our fresh ingredients, homemade sauces, and real cheeses. You'll love our ginormous crawfish tuber covered with etouffee sauce. Franchise opportunities available. Spectacular Tubers, a meal and a baked potato, and more. Visit us at spectaculartubers.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I'd like to have balance. What's in the company plan? I'm a fan of Roth. Also, I like after-tax dollars. What that does is give you a lot of flexibility. So if you're taking income from all three of those sources at retirement, you're taking tax-free income into the mix, because when you take a distribution from your Roth, it is not going to show up on the 1040. And of course, after-tax dollars, you can really be creative in that and making look like some of your distributions are principal, so you're not being taxed. So it gives us an awesome mix. I've got a client, $4,200 a month in income. Off that $4,200 a month, her tax bill for the year was about $1,000.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. Always on the fly away, just because you know you can. Never gonna learn, there's no such place. This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. All kinds of financial news, all kinds of things to learn about your money. Last segment, we were talking about Social Security. One of them was about the death certificates. Hey, if you want to participate in the show, call us, 504-260-0995. Look, we have clients that have passed away, and typically I see death certificates, but I was just thinking when we went to break. See, here's one that I'm looking at that shows a death certificate on there. This one was issued in Illinois, and it shows the Social Security number on the death certificate. And I just couldn't recall it offhand. I don't like examine them line by line every time. I'm pretty much looking like, yeah, this is Fred. And yeah, that's his date of death. And I typically look for the cause, acute congestive heart failure, whatever it calls, because that's one of the questions they're going to ask when we phone in and start notifying firms that we're affiliated with that we've been taking care of the client's assets. We're going to do that.
They ask that?
Typically they're wanting to know date of death, cause of death.
I'm not arguing.
Are they still residing?
I just didn't know.
You know, that's typically what the questions are. They're not, did you confirm the Social Security number? No, I pretty much, his wife told me he died and showed me the death certificate and we're good. But in some cases, we don't have the death certificate yet, so we ask for this information if I sense that it's not a thing to ask yet, because we won't always ask there. We'll go with, yeah, we've got a death and we've got a date of death. We'll roll with that without the other details, because we are going to get that when we see the death certificate. So that's not something it's already real sensitive. They're going to be emotional. We're just not going to go there. So it's going to be furnished at some point. But here's what we do know. In most cases, the funeral home will notify Social Security if you ask them to. But in that case, he didn't want anybody notifying them that we talked about. The guy that's going to jail for a year for cashing his aunt's check for 19 years. But there's, once again, we don't see where there's this requirement that absolutely this, or that the state that issues the death certificate has to notify Social Security. That's where I think the disconnect is. You're issuing a death certificate, the automatic thing is, boom, Social Security's notified. Why wouldn't the system at least connect that way? If a death certificate's issued, by the way, what's their Social Security number? You're applying for a death certificate. We need their Social Security. So it's put on there and boom, they're notified.
It can't be this easy.
It is that easy a fix, but it's not fixed. Obviously, because that's what I would like to have looked up for, found, and when I looked in Social Security, is the issuer of the death certificate notifies us every time. So we know when people die. You don't have to call and tell us. We know. We're stopping the check. If you want that burial coverage, you notify us and ask for it. You file the form, make the request, call Social Security. So it's just kind of interesting topic that leads us to that, is that glitch. But Social Security puts that information out there because there is a database which insurance companies connect to see if they've got any clients that have died.
So they'll do it for us. We just don't do it. We don't get it from them. Or
yeah, I just, if a death certificate's issued, I don't see why that is not connected that way.
There's something else you got to follow up on, though, Gregory. You just can't assume these things are happening. All right, so I like this story better, though, than the other stories I hear where someone kept cashing checks after someone else had passed away, because the normal story you hear of this nature is that someone out in the sticks and they just put, you know, their wife's carcass in the barn or their aunt's, you know, body somewhere to decompose on its own, and they just kept checking the mail like that. But it's not something you can pull off in the city. But this woman actually passed away and people knew about it, so... just one slip through the cracks.
Well, you go back in the day. Let's go back to, I'm going to pick a year. 1915.
All right. I got the flux capacitor here. We can just go 1915.
Okay. There was no Social Security. It wasn't even created yet. It's one reason I picked the year, because it was before Roosevelt created Social Security.
Right.
So there's no reason to notify anybody. Well, I guess... death certificates were issued there, because I looked at another period of, yeah. Okay. But, you know, it's not like, well, we got to get a death certificate. We got to get permission to bury them. I think you could just go bury them. But it was kind of the objective. We need to get them buried. If you're part of a church and a congregation, all there's probably a methodology, go to the cemetery. I don't know. Around New Orleans, you drive through the interstate in New Orleans, you got cemeteries on both sides of, what is it, the Lake Bound Expressway, mm-hmm. they call it, or heading into the CBD. You know, those, they're burying people. Those been there a long time, more than 50 years, more than 100 security. Years, pre-Social Security. Uh-huh. And it's not like they dug a hole and put a body in it. There's mausoleums and stuff that are just crumbling because they've been there so long. So there's a methodology of it, but Social Security is obviously still out the loop. But hey, I was thinking, you know, they've been doing the census for like ever. And I actually, the census goes a lot further back than I thought, because when we went to that, ancestry.com, pretty cool site when you kind of start doing that and looking at the history and all, and then seeing the census rolls and I can't remember the year, but I think it's the most recent 70, 50 years or something. You got to, for us to go look at census records, we have to go a pretty good ways back, because it also shows who is living where and such as that. And I guess that might be back in the day. You say, yeah, Fred died. Which Fred? Fred. Oh, okay. So he doesn't live next door to you anymore. No. You know, when they're going through doing the census, have you seen those old ones, James, where they're just, yes, got a whole list and it's just their handwriting out, and if they misspell it, that's how it goes forward. It was crazy.
I've seen quite a lot of those, and I didn't know that an abbreviation for John up until about 50 years ago was J-O. If you start going through those old ones, it's J-O. Parker, you know?
Yeah. And so you can see where error is made, and it's just kind of carried forward. Like, well, our name's not spelt like that now. Well, was then.
Yeah. There was an extra squiggle in the pen, the quill pen. But no, the census in America goes all the way back to the Constitution. It was set up in the Constitution every 10 years.
I missed in class. I didn't know.
But no, you brought up something pretty interesting. Before Social Security, no one had a Social Security number. How did you have a unique identifying trait that the government knew that, because James Parker is a pretty generic name, there's a lot of us, that I was that James Parker, not this other James Parker. Before we had a Social Security number, what'd they do? Is that left up to each individual state? How'd that work out?
Well, the census is federal. You're connected to that family lineage.
So I think it would have to be your name, your birthday, and your place of birth. And if you have, it would take three things to do the same.
Son of such and such.
I don't know if you'd have to double up like that.
Well, if you go back and look at those records, there was some connection being made. But But that is as basic as it gets. What else were they going to do? There were no computers. Right. There wasn't Social Security. No. What's your number? I was number 3.
Well, and death certificates and birth certificates are actually a luxury of, modern affluence. When you're on the trail halfway between Independence, Missouri and Oregon, and, the mid-1800s, and, someone dies of cholera, you're just going to bury them on the side of the little gravel path you're going through, or the mountain pass that you're going through, and you're not going to tell the government. You'll tell the government when you get a chance.
Everybody didn't have birth certificates either.
No, because I was just born on a pile of corn husk in the back of a cabin. And what am I going to do? Send him a text?
So interesting. But Social Security really changed that, where everybody is capable of being tracked, but it hasn't been very well tracked, obviously. They all know when you get a Social Security number, but the death of a Social Security number is not 100% certain it was recorded as a death.
Sounds like
it gets there. Over time,
they did this study, and there's millions and millions and millions more registered voters than people in America. And if you go break it down by state, there's a few states where it's a significant little chunk here of more people who are registered to vote than alive.
So then you say, okay, this one got away for 19 years. How many checks are being issued? The other thing we brought up is pensions. Is somebody still receiving a Chevron pension? That is.
They would have to do the body stash method, I think. I don't think a private sector company would let that fall through the cracks. They keep a good beat on that one.
We'll have to check it out.
All right, we're doing some numbers action next, and we got some good news on household income. What are you going to do with your extra money? If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Two questions. Do you have a pulse? Do you own anything? If you said yes to both, you probably need a will. You may even need a trust. We all know a lawyer. Do you know someone who specializes in estate planning? Do you really trust the husband of your sister's friend from college? Or would you feel better putting your family in the hands of the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority? I'm Wes Blanchard. What's your plan? Offices in Metairie and at wjblanchardlaw.com.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Something you might should consider. So if you figure that your estate has potential tax liability on your death of, let's just call it $3 million of exposure, you can take out life insurance to fix that.
Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Gregory Ricks & Associates, 504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
If you like money, you will love the Winning at Life app. If you want to call the show or text Winning at Life right now, Get the app. If you need to contact Gregory's office or any of the Total Wealth Authority, it's on the app. If you would like to stream the show live or on podcast, that's on the app too. It's free. Just a one-time login is all it takes to join the Winning at Life Nation. The Winning at Life app, your wallet's favorite app.
Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
The contents on this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take the place of your attorney, accountant, doctor, football coach, plumber, your plumber's plumber, your plumber's gardener, pizza delivery man, or your nosy mother-in-law. This show does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital. Now, back to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, I'm Gregory Ricks. Hey, my daytime job, financial advisor, money manager, help you find your path to that financial destination you're wanting to reach. One of the cool things we do is we have the Total Wealth Authority. I don't always talk about it, but has an estate planning attorney, a CPA. The CPA is Jude Heath, Jay Heath and Company, the estate planning attorney, Wes Blanchard. We have awesome mortgage guy, which Dwayne Stein, he, by the way, co-host of Mortgage Gumbo on Saturdays following our 3-hour extravaganza of live financial talk that we do. And we have Lisa Nugent Freeland, real estate, kind of things that you need in this world that involves big decisions. And we kind of quarterback it and help make sure everything goes the right way. You don't have to use them, but that's what's cool about doing business with us is we make sure if those things aren't taken care of, we have established people to go in and help you with those needs. You don't even have to work with me. You just might say, hey, I like what you got going on because I need those other guys or ladies to help out. Our phone number is 504-832-9200. My website for the daytime job is gregoryricks.com. That number I gave you, 504-832-9200, is for daytime to call, set an appointment, ask a question, get some guidance. If you need something, let us know. Or if you need the superheroes of the Total Wealth Authority, so I'm part of that too. Yeah, call us. Now, back to Winning at Life, live financial talk radio.
Louise in Metairie, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, ma'am?
I have a Social Security question. I have already reached full retirement age. I filed for Social Security when I hit full retirement age and suspended my benefits. And the original plan was that I was going to suspend and wait until I was 70 to collect the money, but I may be rethinking that. I'm still working, and my question is, if I decide that I want to not wait until I'm 70, if I hit 69 and then maybe 3 or 4 months and change my mind and decide I want to take the benefits, do I lose the entire year of the benefits that would have been between 69 and 70, or is there a partial benefit that would be available?
There's a partial benefit that would be available on that. Let's see. Let me check on something here. Let's see. So are you married or not?
Yeah, I'm married.
Okay.
And the husband is collecting on my spousal benefit. Or he's spousal benefit on me.
So that's why you did the file and suspend. What is his age now?
He will be 70 this year.
Okay, so then he's converting to his full benefit.
Correct. Uh-huh.
Awesome. You know, people can't do that anymore.
I know.
You did best case scenario.
I managed to do that thanks to you.
Well, you're welcome. I'm so happy to hear from you and tell us about that.
Wait, this is like finding a four-leaf clover. This is the rare max out on both spouses.
So back in 2015, that took away for those that were following the following year. File and suspend for all purposes has gone away. Mm-hmm. You can't do that spousal and get the deeming. This is awesome news.
Well, we haven't had anyone on the show since they changed the rule. We had a couple double maxers early on, but this is the first one in years that we've seen.
Well, let's not get away from your question. Is you have a 6-month retroactive benefit at this time, so you do have it time stamped because of that, but also the time stamp is to for those that said, "Well, I didn't know about restricted filing." Well, now it's issuing a notification, I'm planning to start drawing benefits, and you don't actually turn them on. So you kind of start the request, but do not. So you have a 6-month retroactive there.
All right. And if I do decide that I'm going to wait until 70, how far before 70 are you supposed to say, hey, I want to start collecting my money now? Do you wait until your birthday, or do you go 30 days? You
60 days out. Like if you're doing the turn on at 70, you just need to let them know, because when you turn 70, any day of that month that you become 70, they consider you qualified. For example, if you were to turn it on turn on benefits at 62, you have to be that age the whole entire month to be able to start it the next month. Okay. But at FRA or after, any month you turn them on, tell them turn it on, they consider that the starting month. Okay. With that said, then you know how Social Security credits you is actually bimonthly, not annually.
Okay.
So if you're turning it on sometime between FRA and 70, they're going to catch up the calculation the following year. But when you turn it on at 70, you're getting 100% credit for every month you deferred when you turn on that benefit.
Okay. All right. That's what I needed to know. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Longtime listener, James.
Yeah. And Louise, with the double max, the rare double max. That's amazing. And she gave you credit for it too, Gregory, because of the show. See, that's what happens when we've been on for almost 8 years now. We're getting some people who we helped them out 6 years ago, and they call us back now. We couldn't have done that earlier in the show. It just wasn't even, I don't know, metaphysically possible. All right, I had another one I wanted to run by you here, Gregory. This is some good news, but I'm going to warn you, this was out of Investor's Business Daily, but the person here sounds very politically minded, so please pardon the political slants in here, but the stats still tell a great story. A new report shows that the median household income has climbed 3% since Trump took office. Median household income has been steadily increasing since the election, when it was $59,471, and it is now $61,483. So, you know, a good 3% jump there.
Good economic news.
So let's just take this to bat. An extra $2,000 a year. So you know, you spread that out. That's a little less than $200 a month. But how about we round it up and make it even? You find yourself with $200 a month. Maybe you paid off a credit card. Maybe you got a raise. But you're in this median household where you got a little bit more money. Where do you maximize that? I know where you're gonna start.
Emergency savings.
Yes, yeah. Emergency fund. Okay. Well, look, we should say that every time. But then what?
IRAs, pre-tax. You get a tax deduction. Could save you some money on taxes. Is one of the reasons to think about that. Another is, how about Roth money? Grow it tax free. I like that. Depends on what you're already doing, though. More background is, okay, do we have somebody that has some emergency money? Are they already in a 401k? Are they making their match? You know, I just found out that I had a couple past employees that had never taken advantage of the match in 401k. They moved on to greener pastures, but I was like stunned. They didn't even participate in the match. That's the free money. Just a thought there. So I guess you're just leaving it with the company if you're not taking it.
I mean, I'm so self-centered that all I'm thinking is if I had an extra $200 a month, it's going to the credit cards.
Oh, actually, that's what I was about to mention. What about your debt? Because that might be a consideration to help right you financially, because you're always going to keep yourself limited on savings because you're probably paying more than you should on the interest. Some people are paying more than that interest. Oh, that don't help me much. It helps me pay the interest or that minimum payment. There I've been struggling with, but it would be, can you apply that and maybe do zilchworks.com and accelerate that credit card debt and get rid of it? Then you have some money to put away towards retirement, because we can nickel and dime retirement, never get to where we need to be, but we're always servicing and keeping up this debt. So how can we reshape that? Then we can put away some money to work.
And we've done previous shows that when people get a modest increase in disposable income, the two things they spend it on first is going out to eat and the grocery store, not necessarily buying more stuff.
Well, maybe the first month of that extra money, a party, celebrate. Okay, now let's pay down the debt, and now let's start saving some. And that's one thing we don't always ask when they say, well, we kind of do. Or the gentleman the other day said, yeah, I don't have any mortgage. I don't have any debts. What should I do with it? Well, how much emergency money do you have? Okay, well, here are some ideas there.
All right, numbers are coming up next. If you want to follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we will be referencing, go to winningatlife.com or download that Winning at Life app. You need to download that one anyway, just so you know. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein.
Myth number four, I don't have to worry about my credit score because my significant other has a good score. That's a myth there, and also a terrible motto. That is absolutely incorrect, so I would not recommend that. So if he does have good credit, then what you may want to do as a little tip would be, hey, go have him sign you up as an authorized user or something like that.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein, this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
How often do you worry about money? James Parker here. You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your 401k when the stock market takes a dive again. You don't have to worry about running out of money when you retire. You can get your financial life in order, but it's a lot easier if you get some help. Find out if you're a good fit for Gregory Ricks & Associates. Come to our next live event. To reserve your seat, go to GregoryRicks.com, download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
I got about 150 grand in my 401k, and I just want to take my money out and buy rent houses with it.
That is an expensive proposition because that's taxable money coming out of your plan. You're going to get whacked. You're going to give up $40,000. Somewhere in there, you're taking a pretty good hit.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
If you've been listening to Winning at Life for a while now, you probably already know that estate planning is more than just a will. You may need a trust. You definitely need both of your powers of attorney. So what's your plan? Hi, I'm Wes Blanchard, an estate planning attorney of offices in Metairie. Listen, don't leave your loved ones in a bind. Call me and we'll make you a plan or update your existing plan. Find me at wjblanchardlaw.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Single couple, there's no marriage penalty. A benefit to filing two single tax returns when both spouses or partners have a high income. Use of the single threshold amounts for each spouse or partner. The top tax rates, income and long-term capital gain and dividend rates $800,000. That's $400,000 for each single taxpayer versus $450,000 for a married couple. Okay, you've got old Joe making $800,000. Bring her into the business and split the income. Now you've beat the system.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you've got a financial situation, you better call Gregory. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
You can also reach me on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com.
And this is how we roll.
I am Gregory Ricks, host of Winning at Life. Yeah, that's the show you're listening to, Live Financial Talk. Here's the number, 504-260-0995. Interesting story here, looking at Wall Street Journal. Let's go to the topic, give the proper credit. It's real-time economics is that. I don't see the writer here, so we'll move on. But we've got the periodical there. They were kind of updating on what was expected today, and then they're talking about the tariffs and such. But there was just an interesting little bit here. Let's see, where did I lose that at? Talking about plumbers. You know, here's enough about autos. Let's talk about plumbers. Drained from a labor shortage. And then after this, I'm going to talk about the truck drivers for a moment, but how things are changing when we have a labor shortage. Did you know we have a labor shortage? We do.
Oh, yeah. Skilled labor, at least.
The plumbing industry is throwing the kitchen sink at job candidates.
See what they did there? Yeah. Plumber and kitchen sink.
At some companies, that includes all the perks a pampered Silicon Valley tech worker might expect. Say, at Google. That includes, and you're going to like this one, on-site tap with craft beer, a kitchen stocked with locally roasted espresso beans. I never pictured my plumber, you know, having fresh coffee beans.
Now, this is espresso, so he's sipping a cappuccino with his pinky out.
Yeah. A putting green or a smoker for brisket lunches. Jennifer Levitz reports the annual median pay for plumbers, pipe fitters, and steam fitters was nearly $53,000 a year in 2017, but it isn't uncommon to see the jobs now advertised at $70,000 up to six figures. Let's see, you want to go to 4 years of college, build up $60,000 in debt, and you had to borrow $1,200 for that cap and gown as well. You've seen the commercial. And so you got to pay off some $60,000 in debt, and besides, you can't even get a job that pays you $40,000. And you can become a plumbing apprentice a few years out, then hey, I know how to do all that stuff. Raise your hand up. Yeah, we'll pick you up for $80K. And yeah, we have a tap on site. We'll feed you lunch.
Do you know a plumber that makes less than $100,000?
I don't know what plumbers make, but but the ones I know, they make some money.
Yeah. Look, I know a guy who's an electrician and he's not even that excited about it. He takes off a couple weeks at a time, and then he's like, oh, I got a job that's going to last for, you know. He works intermittently, $125,000.
Yeah.
What he made
just
last year.
Just kind of, I throw that out there since we're talking about. Now, in the trucking industry, an acquaintance I was talking with, and said one of the problems is they have trouble finding drivers. Then I was watching on Varney the other morning, And that subject came up, and I said, yeah, I know that's kind of tough in the industry, problematic. And it was a news story related to it. And then they had a guest on there. He said, yeah, this is something real easy to fix. Increase pay and benefits, and they will show up at your door. I said, exactly. That is the fix. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to readjust the pay. Well, we can't afford it. Well, then raise your prices. Because there's a company that is having trouble getting its supplies somewhere. And so they're actually having to rent cooler lockers to where they store it. And then when they get drivers, then they move it. So it was kind of like, okay, just pay them more.
Yeah.
And you'll have plenty of drivers.
It's a classic economics model here. Just they will come. It's like what they say about the agriculture industry. You know, it's like, well, we got to have all these people, these seasonal workers come in here because Americans don't want to pick this fruit. Well, if it paid more, I bet you we would. I'd go pick strawberries for $200,000 a year. Right? I'd be hacking lettuce up with the best of them.
18 hours a day.
Oh, I'd be great at it, too. I'd be ecstatic. I'd run around with my big old sunburn, just happy as heck. All right. Let's hit up some numbers.
Yeah.
All right. So numbers today, we're going to give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world. But most of it was just predicated on one man and one thing he said, because when the market opened up, it opened up with green. And so we're sitting there at our desk, and you could just look to the left, and there's the monitor. Oh, good. We're in positive territory. I saw a president came out and said something, but I had the volume down. I was working on something for Gregory.
Oh, he just...
Well, hang on. So then I look back at the monitor, and the thing has dropped, and not only is it not up anymore, it's like 170 points in the red. What did Home Skillet say that is so god-awful that it just took a great day? Turned it into a dumpster fire. And this is
a short version. It was a very long letter he wrote to this leader of another country.
I got an audio clip.
But one part of it says, we have a lot more nukes than you.
I've spoken to General Mattis and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and our military, which is by far the most powerful anywhere in the world. That has been greatly enhanced recently, as you all know, is ready if necessary.
Well, Kim Jong-un, to be fair, he kind of was like tossing out these warnings that, you know, we'll nuke you. I'm summarizing, mm-hmm. but that's basically what he said. Like, he has the leverage and such. And actually, Trump just said, you don't have anything, and this is going to really hurt you behaving that way, but you need to calm down and get back in line, and then we can do this meeting, because what we're going to give them the chance to do is become an economic power building widgets.
Great.
Well, not just widgets, but a lot of other stuff. Let's see. Get your engineers off the rocket boosters and get them engineering assembly lines, and take some of the business from your neighbor across the border, South Korea.
Right.
I think they have excess work. And China, why didn't China hook them up? Like, really?
China likes having them there because it keeps outsiders away from China's sphere.
I know, but it's just, if you really get down to it, Kim, what are they doing for you? Yeah, if he ever figures it out, what the real power is, it's not the nukes. It's called a roaring economy.
Yes, and with that being said, the Dow did not recover fully, although it did make up some of that ground.
Went a long ways on, but that was one of the big problems. Tariffs on automakers, but I don't know how that flies. One of the things where we're shipping our manufacturing elsewhere, we have other countries with automakers, they're building their cars here. Isn't that kind of weird? But he talked about tariffs on that, and that made the market go down even more.
Look, I know you see this if I see it, because you read the book before I did, but this looks like Donald Trump going through the art of the deal.
So art of the deal.
Yeah, he's rattling the cage before the negotiations. No, you change the date. You change the location. You keep them on their heels, and you act like you don't care. And
the deal's off.
This is what I used to do to girls. If I thought they were, you know, losing interest in me, I would lose interest in them first. Just stop texting, and then they'll be like, hey, where you been?
If you'd like transfer that to economics, imagine what you could have accomplished today.
Right.
But with that said, this is, and I was had somebody ask me that this afternoon. I was out away from the office, And I was asked, well, what's going on? I said, this is negotiations at really high stakes negotiations. I said, this is all going to be fine. It's just a little disruptive.
Right.
Right now.
It's him being a businessman. And read the book. You'll see what he's doing. S&P was down 0.2%. NASDAQ was down just 1.5%. So 0.02%. But still a little bit negative there. The Russell, however, is powering it out up in record territory still. It was up just a hair today. Let's go to 10-year treasuries.
We're under 3%.
Dang it. Are you serious?
It happened. 2.984%. So that tells us the 30-year fixed interest rates drop below 4.75. It's all good. We're still in this range. You're going to have a little bit of movement there, but we're at a much higher level instead of moving around at 2.8. And then we can expect the Fed still to raise interest rate again this year as well. Crude oil has dropped back down to lower levels to breathe better. It's at $70.74 a barrel. Gold decided to climb back above 1,300. It's $1,307 a precious ounce. Silver, $16.66.
Something we're going to talk about tomorrow. Netflix is now bigger than Disney. Gregory, your day job.
Financial advisor, money manager. We can help you find where you are along the path and how to get to that financial destination. Give us a call and you can get some help. 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Your home away from the show for podcasts, photos, to watch live, listen live, winningitlife.com and the Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.
Investment advisory representative through